join with Roger in thanking you for being here today. Certainly are, again, privileged to be able to assemble together. There are a lot of folks in a lot of countries that don't have this same privilege that we have, and to the degree that we have it, and so we should be thankful for that. But we should just be thankful that God set up these opportunities for us to be together. We're going to talk about teamwork today. Last week I discussed cooperation, and Kyle wanted us to talk about teamwork in our lessons today. And so when we decided to cooperate the way God wants us to, then we've got to have teamwork. We cannot accomplish what God wants us to accomplish if we don't have that. If we're all pulling in different directions, then we're not going to be able to accomplish what God wants us to. And my part is a lesson to talk about some examples of teamwork, and then Kyle's going to make some applications to that in his second lesson if all goes as planned. So we'll see how that goes. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And this is a truism. This is just life under the sun. It's exactly the way we know it. It works that way under the sun, and we see it all the time. As a matter of fact, if we look at nature, we can certainly see that this single bee in and of himself, or herself, I guess they're all hymns, but I don't know if there's a queen bee, we'll just assume. So this one bee can't accomplish very much by himself. He needs to have a whole group of bees working together, and they all establish this hive, and they work together to make this. They make this honeycomb, and they make all the honey from all that they do, and we all enjoy the fruits of their labor. But this is teamwork, and it's amazing to watch, and it won't work otherwise. And then we see this all the time. We see geese flying, and we see them in this formation. And I don't care how many times you see them, they'll be in this formation every time they fly. They don't even think about this. There's not like, Ralph, how do we do this today? They all know what they need to do. And there's some important things about this. For instance, by flying in that formation, the whole flock adds at least 71% greater flying range than if they flew on their own. Scientists have actually calculated this, have looked at how they're flying, looked at the order they're flying in. What we see, this person that wrote this, and I'll tell you who that is then, or not a person, a website, people who share a common direction and sense of community can get where they're going quicker and easier because they're traveling on the thrust of one another. That is, we all can push one another to get things done. Whenever a goose falls out of formation, it suddenly feels the drag and resistance of trying to go it alone and quickly gets back into formation to take advantage of the lifting power of the bird immediately in front. If we had as much sense as a goose, we would stay in formation with those who are heading the same way we are. But unfortunately, sometimes we don't have enough sense of a goose. When the lead goose gets tired, he rotates back in the wing and another goose flies point. And it pays to take turns doing hard jobs with people or with flying geese. And this is a very important thing for us to remember. These geese honk from behind. It is not the lead goose. The lead goose never honks. It's always the ones in the back that are doing the honking. And, of course, they believe it's to encourage the ones up front. Keep going. Keep going. We're back here. We haven't left. And we need to be careful what we say when we honk from behind, because it can be very discouraging when we're not letting others know. Finally, when a goose gets sick or is wounded by gunshot and falls out, two geese fall out of formation and follow him down to try to help and protect him. They stay with him until he's either able to fly or until he's dead, and then they launch out on their own or with another formation until they catch up with their group. And this is amazing to me that they do this. It's a consistent thing. God programmed these geese. Do you know they're going to do the same thing over and over again? Just proof again that evolution's not true. Because I'm going to tell you something. If I'm that lead goose and I'm having to take the strain of that, I'm thinking, no, I'm smarter than the rest of you. I want in the back where it's not so difficult. And we know all this works. And again, if we had the sense of a goose, we would stand by each other, protect one another, and sometimes make new friends who seem to be going in that direction. This came from leadership.wordpress.com. You can find this a lot of places about geese. And it's a pretty amazing thing. And we look at nature and we understand this idea of teamwork. We know that it takes all of them working together to accomplish. And there's many others. We could use some even from the Bible on that. But I want to talk about one. I want to talk about the Tower of Babel. Found in Genesis 11. These folks were in different places. They all came together, and as they stayed together. And that seems to be the right thing to do. I mean, it makes all the sense in the world after we just studied this about geese. Wouldn't it make sense? Well, it doesn't, because they had an edict from God. But they were determined to do this, and they all spoke one language, the Bible says. So they finally journeyed to this place called Shinar, and later on we'll certainly understand this is a Babylon. And we find that as they all, everyone, it says, on the earth had one language and one speech, making quite clear, not different dialects of one language, not anything. They spoke exactly the same thing. Seems ideal from what we just studied. And so as they journeyed to Shinar, again later on Babylon, they decided they're going to build this city and they're going to build this tower to heaven. They've made up their mind this is the right thing to do. And wonderful teamwork on this. They did exactly, started out doing exactly what they determined to do. Together they started building this city, and together they started building this tower. They had a purpose. They wanted to make a name for themselves, it says in 4a. Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves. They also had this idea, it'll prevent us from scattering. And we're looking at this, and this is wonderful teamwork. See, teamwork is great. Teamwork works. But we're going to have to be aware of something. This was unlawful. What they did was not what God had wanted them to do. So God then confused their language and speech, it says 6-9. He saw it and he said that they'll do nothing. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. In other words, they're going to do what they want to do. If I leave them like this, if I let them stay the way they are, they're going to stick together. They're not going to leave one another. And that's not what I want. So God scatters them. He gives them different languages. And he gives them different speech, and suddenly they don't know what they're saying to one another, and after a while they're so confused with what they're doing, they lose track of this. Apparently didn't know no sign language either. I saw some people trying to have some sign language up here, and one understood it, and one didn't, and it didn't work out too well a while ago. That just doesn't work. They were speaking two different languages. One of them understood English, the other one understood sign language in English. You know what this proves? That one language is necessary for teamwork. Now you might think, what are you talking about, Abel? I'm talking about the fact that if we're not speaking this one language, it doesn't matter. We can have teamwork. We can be working together and working for wrong. And we find in this case, guess what they were doing? Had all the teamwork in the world. We see religious groups that have all this teamwork going on. I mean, they overemphasize teamwork. They have this team, this team, this team, this team, and they work to do things, and they're all unscriptural. So we don't want to do that. And we find something else out. Togetherness is necessary for teamwork. We find with this, they couldn't have teamwork anymore because they couldn't be together. This is important. And I think of countries that have failed because they don't have this idea of a one language situation. They don't understand how teamwork works. We find Abraham and Lot in Genesis 13. They're both very rich men. We find at the beginning of this, though, that Abraham, he has a heart for God. In verse 4, it says that he, when he first gets to Bethel and Ai, which we had been discussing recently, it's amazing, isn't it, how these names keep coming up. Long before Joshua went in and took it, Abraham was there. And here's Abraham, and the first thing he does when he gets there, he realizes the importance of this, that God has promised him, his descendants, a land. And so he's in this land right now. And he builds this altar to God, to praise God. And we find it's just Abraham that does this. We find also that Abraham and Lot were both very wealthy. We find in verse 2 that Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. He was an extremely rich man in his time. We find in verse 6, we find Lot was also. In verse 5, Lot also who went with Abram had flocks and herds and tents. And it says that where they were, the land was not able to support them. That tells you how much they had. This is a pretty fertile area, but they had so much that they just couldn't do this anymore. It just was not going to work. So how are they going to work this out? In this land of Canaan, there was much land for livestock, it says. But they didn't have it. They were located in just one area. And it says if they dwell together, there wasn't going to be room. It says, now the land was not able to support them that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. So what happens in this situation? Well, we find that it starts problems. And this is what happens a lot of times. I know of congregations that get so big that over time it's just disputes and strifes and arguments all the time because they can't determine what they want to do. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't happen to smaller congregations too. In verse 7, they have a major problem. We find that they're fighting over this. Well, I want this land, the one person says, and we need to feed our flocks here. So what happens in this situation? How are you going to possibly have this work out? How are you going to have some teamwork? Well, Abraham, who is very wise, that we've already found out, that seeks after God, makes a decision. He goes to Lot and he says, we need to do something about this. He's smart. Let's have some teamwork on this. Let's work this out. He says, please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Well, that's a key, isn't it, to teamwork? The first thing we should remember are, we are brethren. And that'll solve a lot of problems. That'll make it work much better. So they developed a plan. How are we going to work this out? What are we going to do? Abram says, well, let me tell you what we're going to do. Is not the whole land before you? In other words, is this the only place that we have, this one section we're living in right now? He says, please separate from me. If you take the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll take the left. In other words, the best solution to this is, you need to find another place. Or I need to find another place. I'll let you do the choosing. Who should have had the right to choose this? Well, Abram. But he didn't do it that way. And so what do we find? Lot chooses all the plain of Jordan. Working it out together. Teamwork. They decide the best thing to do in this situation is to split up from one another. Now, I will say this about that before we go any further. We obviously know one of them made the right choice and the other one made a wrong choice. We pay for our choices sometimes, but he had a choice in this. He could have worked it out anyway. I don't believe that it would have affected Abraham's situation with God, but it did affect Lot's. As a result of this, it's interesting, right after this, the land promise is reaffirmed to Abraham by God. God says, I'm going to give it to you. And that tells us a lot about how he felt about Abram working this out and how he knew this was the best thing to do. And it says it in verse 14, and the Lord said to Abram after Lot had separated from him. And when we go on down, how does Abraham reflect on this? Does Abraham say, well, you know, I'd kind of like to have all this land for myself? No, he does not. We can see he doesn't have that kind of an attitude. In verse 18, then Abram moved his tent, went and dwelt by the terebinth tree in Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. So we see he immediately does the same thing again. He even moves away from where he is and wants to give Lot plenty of room to do it. Some lessons learned. Sometimes it takes one person using wisdom to bring about some teamwork. We have our discussions. Someone has to do that. Sometimes it's necessary to separate to accomplish the goals. There's times when it is better for that to happen. I've always said that sometimes in churches it certainly is much better to do that than to split up a whole church. One must always show reverence to God if they expect to be successful. Have you noted in both of these, first and foremost, as I pointed out last week, you want to have teamwork? Well, the only way you can do that correctly is first be right with God. It will not work otherwise. 1 Kings 5 and 6, we find later on, Solomon comes along. He's the third king of Israel. And we find that his father had wanted to build a temple. And God had said no to him. You cannot. But you can make plans for it. You can gather up things for it, which he did. God told David that he would let Solomon build the temple. He even let him know that later on, when his son came along, I'll let him do it, but I will not let you do it. Now, David starts this idea of teamwork out. He starts doing the necessary things for them to work together later to accomplish it. And sometimes, in our lifetime, we do the starting part of it. That's the way it always works. We are actually working together with future generations to accomplish something. Well, this teamwork had started prior to Solomon ever becoming king. David had already worked out situations. With Hiram, for instance, he had worked out this situation, who was king of Tyre, to start this process. And there's something really interesting in this. Hiram says, you know, after Solomon sent to him, he said, I'm doing this because of your father David. I think that's pretty impressive. That because of one man, David, who had already worked on this, who had established this idea of working together, who had made it possible for all of this to come together for Solomon, the man says, I'm doing this because your father David. I really, really cared about your father. I've had people tell me that about my own dad. That's pretty neat to think of a generation that's already passed and how important it is that we're still working together because of someone who's passed from this life. And so he says, I will do this. And so we find that it is now time for him to do something. It is time for him to go start, his men to go start cutting the cedars from Lebanon. And then we find in chapter 5, verses 6 through 9, that he's happy. And we find that he says in verse 7, Hiram said, blessed be the Lord this day, for he has given David a wise son over this people, still mentioning his father. And then he says, I've considered that message, and I will do all that you desire in verse 8 concerning the cedar and cypress logs. My servants shall bring them down from Lebanon to the sea. I will float them in rafts by sea to the place you indicate to me, and will have them broken apart there. Then you will take them away, and you shall fulfill my desire by giving food for my household. Here's the teamwork. He lets him know that I will do my part. Now you must do yours. We need to work together. And here's what I need. Here's what you need. You want these logs? You provide food. I find this very interesting that all of this had to work together. That it was necessary. If Solomon does not provide the food, there will be no logs. It takes something from each party to do this. It is not just one party doing it all. It takes it all. But we find it was more than that. We find that Solomon needed to raise up 30,000 men to go get those logs. You see, all that heavy equipment and things we have nowadays, that was humans then. That was their heavy equipment. You want those logs to go from there back to Jerusalem? And you look that up sometimes. That's a good distance to travel. I don't care where he indicated he wanted those logs to come in at. It's still a long way to Jerusalem. And so they needed to carry them. And you know, look where Jerusalem is even today. Have you ever noticed that hill? I've thought of, how did they plan this? How did they work this out? Teamwork. They thought this through. They figured out how to get, obviously Hiram knew how to get the logs downstream, if you will. But now he has to figure out how to get them from there up to Jerusalem. And it's all worked out. 30,000 men. That's a big labor force. But that's what it took. It says they worked in monthly shifts. Now you want to talk about some teamwork again. Be smart. Be smart in how this is accomplished. They spent 1 month in Lebanon and 2 months at home. And I got to tell you, carrying logs like that, I can imagine you'd need the 2 months of rest after that to try to get your strength back up to do it again. But that's smart teamwork. That's figuring it out. Take the 30,000, you divide them up over time, and guess what happens? They'll be able to get this job done. Solomon had 70,000 who carried burdens, according to 5:15. 70,000 who carried burdens and 80,000 who quarried stones in the mountain. He figured out all this they needed, and we've talked about it before. These stones had to be cut there in the mountains and carried again to Jerusalem. That's why they needed all these men. They had to have this labor force to accomplish this. But he needed something else. In 5:16, besides 3,300 from the chiefs of Solomon's deputies who supervised the people who labored in the work. My brother-in-law always has this favorite saying of his. Every good job needs a good foreman or supervisor, he always says. He wants to be that one. Supervisor. He kids about that. Bill Rainwaters, you know what I'm talking about. So anyway, takes supervision. Why? Well, you've got all these people working. You know there's going to be some problems that need to be worked out. There's going to be things that happen during this process. And it's smart. It's teamwork. It's working together. But that, in the chapter 6, goes through, they had blueprints. They knew exactly what they needed to do. The New Testament says God had already given it to them. It's not a matter of, okay, let's go out and build a church's building and, well, let's start out and let's build a couple rooms and then we'll... That's not the way that works. Even in a small church's building like we're building, when you look at this, they had the blueprints. They knew exactly what God wanted. And it had to be according to those prints. And they built it according to those prints, the Bible says. They did it exactly the way God said. Lessons learned? Sometimes it takes years of preparation to organize such teamwork. Requires the right plans so that there can be teamwork, and a workforce has to be organized so they can work together, and then proper supervision to make sure that teamwork continues. Last one, building the walls back. So now, time has passed. I've went through a lot of history. I went all the way from the building the Tower of Babel when there was only one group of people with one language, and now I've swung all the way down to almost 444 B.C. And we find in this that during this period of time, everything that Solomon had built was destroyed. Everything. It's all rubble. Now they've come back, and they've started rebuilding. They built the temple. Not to its former glory, as they said, but now they need to build the walls around Jerusalem. They're not dwelling there. Some of them are trying to stay around there, but it is not being protected. They needed those walls. And what we find in Nehemiah, they had major problems. When they first start this process, of course those people didn't want those walls built. And the people around them did not want Jerusalem to come back to its former glory. They were concerned because they knew how powerful the Jews had been before. They didn't want that power back. So what are we going to do? Well, this is what they decided to do. It doesn't really matter how much you ridicule us. It doesn't really matter how much you make fun of us. We have a purpose in mind. And we're going to work together. And I'll tell you what happened in this situation. Just give you a little pre as to what happened. They all decided as a person, we're going to get this done. We really don't care. You can do whatever you want to. You can ridicule us. You can make fun of us or whatever. And they told them that said, well, finally, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to come down and attack you in 7 and 8. We're going to make sure you don't get these walls rebuilt. And it was a mild threat, but they thought it would work. And sure enough, of course, some of the people, you can imagine, got a little concerned about this. Well, they turned it over to God. We find in 4 verse through 6, what's the first thing? Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn the reproach on their heads and give them as plunder to the land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders. It's not us. You, God. They're making fun of you. You told us to do this, so it's you. Just like Christ said, when they say things about you, they're actually talking about me if you're doing my will. So we built the wall. And the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. So they already have it up halfway. You can make fun of us if you want to. You can threaten us if you want to. It's not going to matter. We're going to give this over to God. Verse 9, nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God. And because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. They prayed to God, but they also realized that they need to be very observant about what was going on. Because there might be an occasion where God would want them to defend themselves. They prepared for these problems ahead of time. We find in 12 through 23, they looked at what was happening. They understood this. And they said, okay, what we're going to do with this is this. To be prepared. To be prepared, because God's on our side, will carry a sword with us. And so they worked with one hand with one and did the other with the other hand. They prepared themselves, and they kept a watch, and they made sure they were ready. They all did. There wasn't a bunch of them said, we're tired of this, we're running away, this isn't working, what if, what if, what if? No naysayers, because they turned it over to God. They settled some problems in 5:1 through 13. They had problems with their own within their own community, where some were taking from others. Some people didn't have enough money, and they were forcing them to pay them interest, which God had said you can't have usury. You cannot. You can't take it from someone else under that law. That is against my law. And so they worked all of this out, even to the point where everything had to be restored to them, even their houses and everything had to be restored. Teamwork. Let's work together. Let's don't take from each other just because some people don't have. Took a good leader. We find that Nehemiah is such a wonderful leader. He said, I didn't take from them. I lived, if you will, frugally. I could have taken from them. I was the governor. I had a right to all of these things, but I didn't do it. And then chapter 6, we find they stayed above compromise. They would not compromise. They tried all kinds of things with Nehemiah. They even tried to trick him into going into the temple where he was not supposed to go to hide, and they would meet him there. All these things that they tried to get him to do. And he said, I will not do it. I will not break God's command. We can't compromise. Teamwork says we work together, we work as God says, And then finally in 615, the walls are finished on the 25th day of the month of Elul in 52 days. 52 days. Pretty amazing feat. Only happened because, number one, obviously God was on their side, but number two, they worked together. So some lessons learned. Don't let others discourage you. We have a work to do. Is everybody going to be on the same team? Absolutely not. Are some going to be discouraging and try to pull back? Absolutely. It's going to happen. We work through it. We shouldn't be that way. And then we turn our problems over to God. Because the truth is, He's always there for us. He'll always answer for us. We turn them over to Him. And be prepared for problems by planning ahead. We have to be smart. We have to think through this. We've prayed to God. If we understand these problems are coming, how are we going to deal with them? Let's be prepared. If we know they're biblical, let's talk about the Scriptures and let's figure out how to work through them. Mainly, do not compromise with evil. We're going to get in trouble. When we start compromising because we're trying to get along and that's the way we want it, it will not work. It just won't work. We view one example of teamwork that obviously had the wrong motive, and three that had the right motive in mind. When we look at this, Christ designed the church to work together. That was His whole intent. He wanted unity, and He meant for each local group to work together. We have that responsibility here. We need to recognize our role in the work of the local church as a part of a team that's working together to do one thing. To become a part of that called out or assembled people, we need to obey the words of Christ and His apostles. Today, I would urge you, as always, become a Christian. Think about your life, your soul. Be on the team that God wants you to be on today. Become a Christian. If you have any needs, we certainly would be happy to assist you. Would you please stand?